Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thank you for coming back to the IL Preps Podcast. It has been a while. I am Terry Foy, joined once again by Ty Zanders. And Ty, the high school season is getting underway. Some teams haven't even started playing yet. Some still won't play their first game for several weeks at this point. And in other parts of the country, we're less than a month away from the postseason, including South Carolina, Texas, and Florida. An exciting time. Week two of the Under Armour Inside Lacrosse National High School Power Rankings and Regional Experts poll and rankings recently dropped. We've got a lot to discuss, both in terms of who the best teams in the country are, but let's start by talking about some exciting developments on InsideLacrosse.com. Last spring, we hosted a boys' high school scoreboard. We received pretty good support, but in August of 2018, Lax Power ceased operations of their website in total, which included the industry standard for a national high school scoreboard. We at Inside Lacrosse felt like it was our responsibility and opportunity to pick up the baton there, and we have. And now we have about 12,000 boys and girls games in our scoreboard. We estimate that that's unfortunately only about 20 to 30% of where we need to be, and so we're continuing to work on it every day, including adding final scores. Last week, Patrick McEwen, better known as Lax Film Room on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, who joined Inside Lacrosse in early February as a data specialist, unveiled a national ratings formula, and we are currently in development of additional pages and features that will make that formula even more powerful. Ty, you know how big this project is and how long we've got to go, but how encouraged are you by the early returns?
I feel great about it. I mean, I think, you know, first things first, I look at honestly how much I'd like to credit Lax Power for kind of helping me start my career and all the, you know, all the information that was available. But I think that we've done a really good job of picking up the slack, you know, filling that void. And I really can't thank someone like Patrick enough for his hard work and energy, you know, all the energy he's put towards it. Long nights, chasing down lots of scores, you know, but I'm really encouraged, and I'm sure I'll go on a rant at some point on Twitter. But people, we need you. We need you to submit scores, schedules, and we won't listen to any of your complaints about scores not being available, because it's on you. You know, I mean, submit your scores, get them in. We want this to be as updated and thorough as possible. And I think, you know, if you're not seeing a score for your team, become a contributor. And, you know, we really need your help in making this thing awesome.
Well said. And it is mid-March, which means that here in the Mid-Atlantic region, there's tons of action. You've been getting out to games in just an amazing volume over the last almost 2 weeks now. And I had an opportunity to check out my first high school game last Friday. I was in attendance for Haverford's victory over St. Paul's. So, Ty, can you give us a little bit of insight as to what it's been like to be out in the wild and, you know, both enjoy the beautiful weather and the not-so-beautiful weather that we've had over the last 2 weeks and see a tremendous amount of talent flow through?
Yeah, I'm having a blast. I think I've been to 8 games now. I did a first and split halves of a game. I went to the first half of Gonzaga Boys Latin and then made the trek a couple hundred yards with our photographer, Jackie Borowski, over to Georgetown Prep and Gilman and caught the second half there, which was excellent. So had a really good time. Saw Hill Academy. I've seen McDonough, Gonzaga, Boys Latin, Georgetown Prep, Gilman, Bullis, Haverford, Loyola. I've got Landon. I've got Malvern Prep. Got Loyola Academy, Culver, you know, coming the next week. So really encouraged. I think I've watched 9 of our top 25 and have plans to watch the rest of the year. But it's been a blast. I mean, I love the high school game so much. And, you know, it is a lot of the same programs, but just the development of some of these programs in the 10 years I've been doing this has been, you know, really encouraging. And I think I'm looking at the first week of the games I attended. I think 3 or 4 were in OT, and there were 2 others that were 1-goal games. So in terms of just how competitive it is, it's been incredible. We've seen an uptick in 1-goal games in college lacrosse, and I think that they will always be plentiful at the high school level, and I really enjoy that aspect. Just the intensity that you get from an early March game is incredible. I mean, a couple of them have really felt like mid to late May playoff games, and that aspect has really been, you know, fun to cover. You know, I can't wait for what's ahead, you know, the next few weeks.
I mentioned that we are 2 weeks into the Under Armour Inside Lacrosse National High School Power Rankings. That being said, you've worked through previewing the top 15 teams in the preseason, and obviously the preseason National High School Rankings are really significant in setting the tone for what the expectations are over the course of the year. So starting at the top, what were some of the impressions that stood out to you when you looked at the top five in a little bit closer detail? That was number one, Salisbury, number two, Culver, number three, Hill Academy, number four, Calvert Hall, and number five, Ward Melville.
Yeah, so I think that I really felt that this year was a year that was going to be interesting. And that doesn't sound like much, but every year's interesting. But to me, I felt very strongly that the class of 2018 had a massive impact on lacrosse. And with that being said, you know, their graduation left a void, and that made it really hard to put this top 25 in the preseason together, because, I mean, there was really only one or two teams that I felt like didn't lose anything. And I felt like a lot of the 2020 class would have to make an impact for these teams to stay at a high level. So with Salisbury, they graduated a couple Under Armour All-Americans and Joe Newman and John Lombardi and some great players, you know, elsewhere, a really strong class, but they went and they got some transfers and post-grads. You know, Culver graduated, you know, several, you know, stud Canadians that had been 3 or 4 year contributors, and it felt like they didn't even lose that much because of the depth they have in their program, you know, coming up the ranks. And Hill Academy, Calvert Hall, Ward Melville, you know, all very, very strong teams that I felt great about. You know, I mean, with Calvert Hall, having watched them last week against Hill Academy, a Hill Academy team that didn't have the same volume of high Division I talent, but the way that program has been built and how much these guys can practice and play, I think puts them, you know, in the top five, you know, all the time. But only bumped back Calvert Hall a couple spots, losing to one of the best teams in North America. You know, in overtime, you can't really penalize them too much, but feel good about them. And then Ward Melville, quite a storyline there. I mean, they dropped their first scrimmage, and people love to make a big deal out of scrimmages, and I don't really like to do so. Take it with a grain of salt, and heard some notes from the Patriots, but you know, having looked really deeply into that program the last few weeks, and we'll get to that, I felt like their talent top to bottom and their position atop Suffolk County, you know, really, really kind of created a top five spot for them. And I feel like they'll, you know, stay in the mix for a while.
Moving along, 6 to 10, you mentioned obviously that some of these rankings have already fluctuated.
It changed a little bit.
But, yeah. But going back to the preseason, you spotlighted St. Anthony's, Garden City, Bullis, Chaminade, and McDonough. And certainly the Eagles out of McDonough have gotten off to a hot start so far this season.
Yeah, McDonough, I mean, going from 10 to 4, this is another team that was hit pretty hard by graduation, lost, you know, some stud attackmen, an Under Armour All-American at midfield, and Jack Simmons, who's playing at Virginia, B.J. Farrar on defense, and Chris Smith as well, who's now at Navy Prep. You know, so I wasn't sure how things would go, but they returned some talent, and I felt really good about, you know, what they could do. And they've already risen with three top 25 wins. But elsewhere, Garden City, I think, really making a resurgence, just like Ward Melville. I mean, these are teams that have been dominant in so long and probably account for somewhere between, you know, 12 and 20 championships between them. The Trojans have a lot of seniors that I feel really good about. Not a whole lot in the junior class, but a team that will you know, certainly, you know, be capable of going on a run, you know, going forward, and already have a win over Smithtown West in overtime, a team I looked at pretty hard in the top 25 in February.
And then from 11 to 15, a notable one for me, actually a handful of notable programs. We already talked a little bit about Haverford, but Brunswick, Haverford, Boys Latin, Deerfield, and Del Barton rounded out the third quintet of preseason top-ranked teams.
Yeah, I mean, Brunswick, what a rise that we've seen from the Bruins. Dave Bruce done a great job in his time there. I've been blown away with just, you know, their rise to the top of New England. It's been really fun to watch and to follow them pretty closely. I like what they have. They have a couple transfers I think will make an impact in Kobe Ginder and Liam Fairback, some seniors that were kind of waiting in the wings and are very capable of taking on an increased role. I would say their goalie, Christian Bernard, going to Harvard. I can't remember a backup. I think, you know, there are a couple of them this year in Chaminade's Liam Entenmann and Christian Bernard at Brunswick. These are guys that backed up Under Armour All-Americans and, you know, I mean, are two of the best goalies around, I think will be outstanding this year. So love Brunswick. Haverford watched them this week and was very impressed with their first midfield line and what they have in attack and Brendan McBride and Adam Salvaggio in particular to go with Pierce Glavin. John Nostrand, you know, done a really good job, always has with that team. I think they've just exceeded expectations every single year just with what he's built, what his staff has built. It's been a blast to watch. I know we'll see a lot of the forwards going forward. We'll catch them against Culver. I'm going to catch them against number one Salisbury in a few weeks up at Rutgers. And, I mean, what they've done, what they put together for the final year, Tara, they have 8 or 9 top 25 teams in the schedule. I mean,
and when you say final year, you're talking about the final year of John Nostrand's tenure as the head coach, which is in and of itself a really notable storyline for the Forts heading into this season.
Exactly. I guess I probably should have prefaced it with that. But, you know, Nody doesn't back down from anybody and had a blast talking to him, you know, this week. He's been, you know, so gracious with his time with me over the years and very appreciative of the coverage. But he's someone who I feel like is really help put that school on the map and put Philly on the map as a hotbed. He kind of started that, and you know other programs saw that model and kind of followed it. So had a really good time watching the forwards and pumped to watch them going forward. And they have, you know, some nice wins on their resume in Boys Latin, St. Paul's, and Loyola, and then Deerfield and Delbarton, usual suspects. Deerfield, you know, I think didn't have the year that people expected them to have. They lost some post grads early on, but I think that they're back and added some solid talent, especially on defense and at the midfield. And I think we'll see a nice run from the Big Green, but they'll test themselves with an early battle against Torrey Pines, and you know, as usual, an early season battle against Brunswick that always attracts a lot of fans and you know, has some implications in the rankings.
It'll be a great season, and continue following InsideLacrosse.com as Ty continues his preview of the preseason top 25 teams. When you look at the 10 remaining squads, anything particular jump out to you that folks should be aware of?
I will say, I think, you know, to me, there's somewhat of a drop-off. And granted, we're recording this on March 20th. There, on paper, there seems to be a little bit of a drop-off after 15 to 18. I really feel like these teams have a ton of talent. But, you know, I think that the gap is very different from the way it used to be. I mean, Darien went down for the first time in what felt like a decade, but just a couple of years. Last year, the championship against Ridgefield. And I think everyone will continue to gun at the Blue Wave, and they graduated a significant amount of starters, so I'm just very intrigued to see what they can do with the young group. And same with Victor. I thought Victor graduated less than Darien, but very intrigued to see what they can do with the junior heavy group in particular.
And of course, you know, one of the things that happens whenever you rank teams is, you know, folks talk about the methodology and maybe some of the rules that you impose on who's included and who isn't, and who is included and who shouldn't be. And that's kind of where I want to pivot to now. You know, this idea of, and really, in my estimation, it spotlights the change in high school lacrosse that we've seen over the last 10 years and the development of sports-based academies, the continued proliferation of New England prep schools, some of which have postgrads on it and some of which don't. I don't think you nor I are going to dispute that the conditions that these teams play under, particularly compared to your traditional public school, are very different. That being said, we've made the choice at this point to rank them all together. It's not, I don't think either of us would say, a perfect solution, and we've entertained having separate rankings. What's your point of view on that question? For me, the biggest reason that they should be ranked together is because they play each other. If IMG plays Highland Park, then they belong being ranked against one another. You know, there are a couple of programs that do play some of these teams that I think pretty clearly should be outside of the conversation, particularly Navy Prep and the U.S. Military Academy Prep School. I think those two don't have any undergraduates.
And Saving Bridgeton Academy in Maine, I believe. I think those three you take out entirely.
They're essentially the freshman team for a college.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, there's a lot more similarity roster-wise between, you know, some of these teams that like I said, Sports Academy or Play PGs at a New England prep school, et cetera. Again, just what is your kind of point of view on that?
Well, I have a lot to say, per usual, but, you know, I mean, people that know me know that I follow football very closely, and you have all sorts of, I mean, you have IMG Academy in there with some public school programs, and I don't feel like anyone really complains. To me, in lacrosse, I don't see enough of this, even though we've seen this model kind of be trending, this sports academy, this prep school that can attract kids from all over. I don't think that they're totally dominating the top 25. When you get to over half the top 25 is a sports academy or a boarding school, then you kind of scratch your head and you said, I don't know. But right now, sure. There's a couple. You have Hill Academy in there at 3. You have IMG Academy in there at 18. You have Salisbury, who has borders. Culver, who has borders but no PGs. Salisbury does. McDonough does 5-day boarding. Brunswick is in the New England West. They don't take PGs or do boarding. Deerfield takes boarding and PGs. But there's really not like this huge volume that people like to, you know, point out of these sports academies, these boarding schools. And I think every set of schools, they kind of have their own advantages. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from, you know, from what they've done, but a public school like Ward Melville, they have a huge amount of students. And, you know, that's an advantage in itself because of the area you're plucking from. There's a lot of talent in Suffolk County in that school district and in any public school district that we're looking at. You know, Darien's another one. You know, Victor. I think everyone has their own advantages.
Well, one of the big advantages about those that you didn't mention is that they're free.
They're free.
For everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true. I mean, everyone has different advantages. And I guess to kind of, you know, circle back to what I was saying, like until we have a lot of schools that follow the Hill and IMG model, you know, I feel comfortable, ranking these teams together. I do understand people's point of views when they say we should have separate lists, but I don't always buy it. And I do think that there are some times where some of this stuff is a little bit overblown because there's also often assumptions about the game of holdbacks, a practice that we see, you know, all over. There really aren't as many as you may think. And I also know that Hill and IMG don't have as many PGs as they often do. They're not overpowering that roster as people like to illustrate.
So obviously a complex issue, and we'll continue to talk about it. But one thing I want to make sure that we get to, you mentioned Ward Melville. The Patriots are on the cover of our April issue of Inside Lacrosse. They are one of the most storied programs in all of high school lacrosse, on the heels of spotlighting Mike Messer and his retirement last year. It felt like an appropriate transition to talk about, you know, a team that had in many instances been his bugaboo, or vice versa, in a number of national New York State Championship games. You went up and spent a couple days with Coach Jay Negus and some of the players on the team. You talked to a lot of alums, and you tried to capture the essence of the program. When they get closer to their first game, we'll talk about the roster, but broadly, what were your takeaways from being around such a tradition-rich place?
It was incredible. It was something that I really enjoyed, and you know, as I've mentioned before to you several times, I felt like, you know, I mentioned this in the editor's note, but I look back at one of the first times I walked into the Inside Lacrosse offices and I saw West Islip, you know, War Melville's arch rival, on the cover. I thought that was so cool. And, you know, now you look back and West Islip kind of had their run, and War Melville has this resurgence. And, you know, I really felt for so long like West Islip's model was amazing. And it took some time to realize that this is almost the exact same model that Ward Melville was employing. And getting to go inside of that to see how they built the youth leagues, how they ran the Patriots, you know, system and use their style of play so that they, once they got to JV and varsity, you know, they're fully prepared for, you know, to play the way that their coaches want to play. Between that and just the overall passion and gratitude that the alums possess, I mean, that was one of my favorite aspects is you know, talking to, you know, the Kevin Warrens and Dan Beccaros and Liam Bankses of the world. You know, I have a couple of good friends who played there, and it was really insightful to get there, you know, to get to hear more about their experience, you know, playing there and how the program has been developed through the years. So I had a blast. I mean, I couldn't have picked a better subject for my first cover story, and really had a great time, you know, writing it despite all the long nights and, you know, the heart palpitations from the Red Bull. I've really enjoyed, you know, doing that, and I'm excited for that to hit the newsstands pretty soon.
And we'll end with this. As you look ahead, what is on the horizon? I'm going to be going to Bullis versus Loyal Academy. The Ramblers from Illinois are going to be coming to town. I'm really excited about that one. What's on the docket for you?
Yeah, so I'm looking at Malvern Prep and Calvert Hall, hoping to get to that one. Then over the weekend, got a loaded day on Saturday. I think if you're in Baltimore, and I'll mention college as well, you have a nice little trifecta, triple header. You can go to Denver Towson, I believe at noon, Boys Latin and Culver at 3 o'clock, and Virginia Hopkins at 6 o'clock, and that's all within, what do you think, Terry, 3, 4, 5 miles?
Yeah, that's about right.
You can't beat that. I mean, that's a hell of a day for Baltimore lacrosse fan. I know I'm fired up for it, so I have that one. And then next week we've got Culver coming to town. I think I'll be seeing them 3 or 4 times. Always try and see a lot of the Eagles when they're around. We have them number 2 in the rankings, and you know, they're loaded for bear.
Well, Ty, that'll do it for this edition of the IL Preps podcast. As always, thank you. If you like what you heard, leave a rating and review. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Terrence Foy. He's at Ty Zanders. Let us know who you'd want to hear from, coaches and players. We want to incorporate interviews as this podcast moves forward over the course of the spring. And as always, make sure to check out the Inside Lacrosse High School Scoreboard. Click those 3 lines in the top left portion of the website. It drops down. High school boys, high school girls. Shout out to Hallie Quillinan and Megan Clothier, who have killed it, and Tommy Lyons, who have killed it with the Isle women's schedule and rankings. It's been awesome. And as always, thanks for the listen.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.